Sure love you, and I'm so glad to have you in chapel today. I want to remind with you just real quickly our 1 Timothy principles. I want you to get those inside your heart. Quite frankly, when I look you in the eye and hand you your degree, I'd like to know that you would mirror these six things. Chapter 1, keep your doctrine, because doctrine determines destiny. Keeping doctrine. Don't be enamored with false doctrine. Don't be so curious. You got to find out everything that's going on. Hey, keep it simple. Keep it clean. Keep your doctrine clean. Don't be afraid to repeat the obvious. It's the obvious with many people have forgotten, keeping your doctrine sound. Chapter 2 is making prayer in your walk with God a priority. I want everybody to know that. Your walk with God is paramount. Your private time with the Lord determines your public ministry. And it is our private time alone, our quiet time alone, that determines our power to resist temptation and to live out our Christian faith. It can't get any more personal than your right walk with God, and no one else can do that for you. Your mama can't do it. Your daddy can't do it. Youth pastor, you can have some of the greatest pastors and leaders, but none of them can keep your walk with God. That's yours. And if you fall asleep with the wheel, it'll be your fault. And that slow leak will start with not a real relationship with the Lord. No prayer, no walk with the Lord, making that a priority. Keeping your doctrine sound, making prayer and your walk with God a priority. Chapter 3, spiritual. Once again, spiritual reproduction. That means winning and discipling someone, helping others. No success without successors. And working, and some of us, we struggle winning people to Christ. We struggle, and I've done that. I've gone through seasons where it drives me crazy. I've just not been able to get someone to understand the gospel enough to accept it that I know about. But I got to keep giving. I gave it to a person today. I took a track and gave it to someone this morning in hopes to give the gospel. I'm getting together, John and Romans, to give to some folks I need to talk to about the Lord. I need to have that inside clock going inside of me, and you need it inside of you. When have I discipled someone? When have I watched someone to the Lord and invited someone to accept Jesus as their Savior? Spiritual reproduction, chapter 3. Chapter 4 has to do with being an example of a godly example, walking in a way that people can see you. Here's a statement I oftentimes give at chapter 4. Our sermons whisper, but our life, remember that what if people don't trust your testimony, they will not trust your testimony, what you tell them. If they don't trust who you are, they don't care what you say. And we all are examples of that. There are some folks, they can preach well, teach well, they've got a lot of knowledge, but your life does not back up their lips, and you just don't give them the same credence you give of somebody that you know their testimony is strong. Be a godly example. Chapter 5 has to do with relationships and responsibilities. Can I say that again? With relationships and? Yeah, it's learning to treat people right at different seasons of life and different venues and different people, whether it be older, younger, those in ministry that are leaders, those who are widows, those are widows indeed, young widows, and then constantly evaluate the relationships that we have with people. It's important. There's a principle that teaches that he that walketh with wise men shall be, but a companion of fools shall be. Yeah, and certainly reminds us of that. And then lastly, chapter 6 has to do with financial management, managing finances wisely by working diligently, associating carefully, living contentedly, and giving generously. These are things I hope that you'll get. And as you see them in the hallways of Malone here, or going out this direction or over there, I hope you'll contemplate them and memorize them and ask God to indelibly put those in your heart and life, not because Pastor Wilkerson brings them to your attention, because I believe they are proofs of people who behave themselves wisely in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So once again, keep your doctrine, make prayer a spiritual reproduction, be a good godly, very good, relationships and then financial. Thank you for letting me go through that with you today. We're in Proverbs chapter 18. Let's go there if we can, please. And I shared with you in a recent chapel about the attributes of a godly servant. In chapter 18, there's just several things that this last summer as I was reading my Bible, I came to 18 and 19, I thought to myself, I want to share this with you because they are simple, but they are very essential. to the work of the ministry. That is, you're going to have someone who wants to be wise, who wants to intermeddle with all wisdom, someone who desires wisdom, someone who will distance himself from things counterproductive to wisdom and distance himself. I can preach to you about standards. I can preach to you about going after wisdom and saying no to this music and don't put this on your iPod and stay off Pandora and all that stuff. The truth of the matter is I can't be separated from you. You'll have to distance yourself. You have to separate yourself. I can't do it for you. I can't do it for Linda. I can't do it for my children. Drew's in here this morning, but I can't be separated from Drew. That's going to have to be his decision. For to get wisdom, you could want me to have wisdom, but you can't separate from me. I have to separate myself to make that happen. And you'll have to separate yourself. And then you'll have to intermittle. You'll have to get some diligence to say, you know what, I am not just want wisdom. I'm not just separating from wrong to get wisdom, but I'm going to put the diligence in to learn to be a wise person. We talked about making sure that you're not trying to discover your own heart, to do what you want to do, to think like you want to think, and to feel like you want to feel. That's what a fool does. All he wants is heart to discover itself. He just wants him to do what he wants to do. You'll have to learn to be teachable and listening in that area. I would say also we talked about having a good testimony. We talked about having discernment, watching your mouth, having a good speech, being diligent and frugal, not being a waster or a slothful person. The scourge of the ministry is laziness. I got it in me, you've got it in you. We want to take the road of least resistance, you know, but when you get something done, do it right. Do it completely. Do it hard work. Put the hard work in. It's hard work to do some of the basic things. Do the hard thing. Work diligently. You and I are always blessed by hardworking people. In a few weeks, you'll see a beautiful play up here. This room will be transformed into several stages. I can't wait. I love it. I look forward to that February time when I can see that. But it will not be done on spare time and pocket change. There are people working on that as we speak. They've been working this morning on it. Brother Anthony writing it and getting it organized. And Miss Rachel Belial, people have to work hard for a lot of people to have a good time. A few people have to labor. And you're going to be called to be those few people. Start now. Don't be a lazy student in your classes, in your dorm room. Clean your dorm room. Take care of your vehicle. Take care of your possessions. Don't be a waster. Those go hand in hand. Someone doesn't take care of what he has, and someone who's lazy usually goes hand in hand. Make sure you are on the high road of that one. And then remember the name of the Lord. Remember the materialism is a pit, and it's a really a false wall of protection. Money does not protect. Money takes himself wings and flies away. Money goes up and down. It's a terrible protection in your life. I certainly think as people say, oh, so I don't have enough money to be independent and be able to take care of one, no one depend upon you. You are made to be dependent upon the Lord. Now, there is wisdom in exercising finances, but money does not protect you. It's a terrible, in a rich man, he thinks his money is his wall, his protection. Who's supposed to be our protection? The Lord is. Yeah, nothing else. Be careful about that. And even men and women in ministry fall into a pit of materialism and putting their faith in money. I want to encourage you to get away from that if at all possible, and don't do that. Then learning to listen. We talked about that in exiting last time's message. Let's real quickly take it 18, verse number 14. Just have a few moments, but I want to share, I think, what is a very important truth. Read it with me, verse 14. The spirit of a man, but a wounded spirit. As I closed off last time, we talked a little bit about this strengthening your spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 16, 17, forgive me for not knowing exactly the verse there, but Paul tells us his prayer life for the Ephesian converts. And he tells them this. He says, I'm praying that you will be strengthened by God's Holy Spirit and by His might, where? In the inner man. The Bible tells us we're supposed to take off some bad stuff. And we're supposed to put on some new stuff. He said, put off these things. Put on these things. But before that, he said, you've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and in the inner man. One thing you want to learn, and you won't learn it in college, you'll be learning your whole life, is you've got to be strong in your inner man spirit. Take strength to stay in an uncomfortable situation. It takes strength to sustain ministry. It takes strength to serve. It takes strength to study the Word of God, not physical strength. Obviously, if you're sick physically, it's hard to read the Bible. But it takes inner man strength to be faithful to your devotions. It takes inner man strength to go to a prayer meeting. It takes inner man strength to be faithful on cold days, on hot days, on good times and bad times. It takes inner man strength to stand when everyone else is falling. To say no when other people are saying, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that, man? Let's just do this. There's no big deal. You need strength. Inner man strength to say, no, hang on a second. No, I'm not doing that. That's not on my agenda. That's not who I am. That's not what God made me to do. I'm not going to make those compromises. It takes inner man strength to do that. And the Bible says here that the spirit of a man sustains his infirmities, his weaknesses. And then it says, but a wounded spirit who can bear. I would encourage you to strengthen your spirit, first of all, through prayer. Pray, God, make me strong to resist. You know, the Lord Jesus in the model prayer says, deliver me from what? Temptation. Does he not? Jabez, when he prayed, he said, Lord, bless me a lot. Enlarge my coast. Let your hand be with me. Hold my hand through life. And then keep me from evil, that it not grieve me. Asking God, Lord, give me inner man strength to say no to the things I should say no to say yes to the things I say yes to. Purity in your morals requires inner man strength. Not reverting back to your social media once you told yourself you're not going to do that again. Not installing Pandora back on your phone after you've already taken off four times. I'm not going to put it back on. I'm not going there. I'm not going to reinstall that. I'm not going to listen to that again. I'm not going to watch that again. This is not what I'm going to do. It takes inner man strength to do that. And it will sustain us. I want you to be sustained. God wants you to be sustained. Your stability determines other people's opportunity to hear the gospel, to be faithful to the Lord. So you'll need inner man strength. Number two, watch it out. Watch out, because he said, a wounded spirit who can bear. I can't speak for everybody, but I imagine I could probably go to Brother Collins here, and I could probably go to Brother Osgood. I could go to Brother Jack Mitchell. I know these men fairly well. I would not know exactly which event they were telling me, but in my 9 years of being the pastor here, I have seen these men wounded, hit, hurt by circumstances, situations, the sins of others, an irresponsible leader, an unjust thing that happened to them. You know, as I think about this, I can think of things, and probably no one any more specific than I would just think about Brother Mitchell. And boy, there was some very difficult things. I remember sitting in church or preaching after he had been laid off from our church. He used to work here. Then he was laid off. And he used to have his children as a part of his pay package. They could go to the Christian school. And now he's going to the business office and paying for Luke and Ryan and Eric and little Abby to go to school. He used to work at the church, and now he is working in construction. I remember seeing him sitting in a service, and I hope I'm not embarrassing your brother Jack on that, but if I am, you want me to stop? Stop now or no? Okay? All right. Nothing like putting someone on the spot. I never do that, but I just happened to do that just now. So, seeing him sit there and seeing Miss Sarah crying. Not understanding what all's happened. How did this go like this? Friends are saying, or don't go to that church. And how could you still be there? And opportunities in other places, but he felt like, you know what, I got to stay. And I got to protect my spirit. I got to protect my spirit from getting wounded and getting hurt. In the last week, I have dealt with several people who are being wounded by situations in the ministry. Relational situations, financial situations, the death of a child or an infant. Different things that come, and finding out that their little girl had been taken advantage of by a babysitter, or situations that have happened in the past. And boy, we came to this country and we wanted to reach people for Christ. Now the people of this country that we said we loved so much, they hurt us. Boy, you have to watch out. And I say this a little bit with experience, that if you serve the Lord, you're going to get your feelings hurt. you're going to take some wax to your emotions. Your spirit's going to get hurt. You're going to be disappointed. That's why the Bible's middle verse is better to put confidence in the Lord than in princes. Sometimes we're so excited about, well, I can't wait to hear that guy preach. I want to hear this person. And by the way, that's good and that's well, and I love that. The truth of the matter is, everybody, if you're looking for confidence in a human being, you're looking way too low. You love them, you follow them as they follow Christ, but you keep your eyes on Jesus. Because you're going to get stumped. I could have every single faculty member, staff member, Brother Strong, he's nodding his head this morning. It just happens. Never forget one time I was working with a man, and he was a great man. I love him to this day. But he was upset. He was insecure. There were challenges. And every problem was my fault. Boy, I was scratching my head. I couldn't figure it out. I remember one day I led this one person to the Lord, and then I took him on a singles activity, and they met each other, and they started dating, and this good young man, this precious young lady, and one day they walked into my office, and they said, "Brother John, we just got engaged." I said, "That is great." I said, "Will you be a part of the marriage? Will you be a part of the wedding?" I said, "Sure, oh, I would love that. That'd be great." Okay, and so anyway, that was fine. I wasn't even ordained. I couldn't do a wedding. But I was like, I thought, man, I'd read the scripture or stand up and say, "You guys are great, and I can't wait for you to get married in a minute," or whatever. I didn't know what I was going to do. But boy, just a few minutes later, I got called into the office. And a good man who was a preacher, who was a pastor, who loved the Lord, man, he just said, "Who do you think you are? You don't do any weddings in this ministry. I do all the weddings. Everything comes to the pastor's office. Who do you think you are trying to do a wedding?" I said, "Pastor, I don't want to do a wedding. I don't even know how to do a wedding." I did do church ed, but I don't know how to do a wedding. And I'm not even ordained. I know the vows, though. If you and you have freely and deliberately chosen each other for partners for life, will you two turn and join right hands? And I know all that stuff, but no, Pastor, they were happy. They were excited. I was excited for them. I don't want to do a wedding. He goes, "Well, you better get this straight." And it was a bad day for him, but it hurt me. It hurt me. And I remember walking out thinking, okay, next time that happens, I got to figure out how to do that differently. What I did not know is my pastor was going through a bad valley. He was going through a very deep time of discouragement and challenge. And I became the little bit of the bully pulpit, if you will. I became the person, and boy, it hurt me. I remember going and thinking, what am I doing wrong? I don't understand. That's one of those things, that song, "Farther Along." We'll know all about it. And there, I saw that man not too long ago, and he had his son with him. He said, "Son, if you would just be half the man this brother is, I love this guy. He was such a good help to me. And if you could be up half the man this man is, because I would be so very proud of you." That was somebody that hurt me. You know, these are things that happen in a wounded spirit. Nothing messes up your spiritual vision like interpersonal relationships unresolved. If you're not able to accept pain, hurt, reproof, injustices, being blamed for something you didn't do, being accused of something that really is not, I was even there, or I didn't do that, or helping and not getting angry at the person. See them as a human being and know that God, who in the Bible kind of went through some rejection? Who comes to your mind? Joseph. Could you imagine? Joseph just went through years of head scratching. What in the world? What did I do so wrong? All right, I probably shouldn't have told the dream about the stars and the moon worshiping me and all that stuff. But did it deserve a pit? Did it deserve being made a slave? Did it deserve the cursing, the spitting, all the things that happened to me, and so is this what it gets? But God, what other people might mean for evil, God means for good. Today, if you could just walk out of chapel, I hope you'll think of these two things. Number one, okay, strengthen your inner man through prayer, through meditation, through scripture, through good friends. Number two, protect yourself. Whenever you get hurt, you're going to get hurt. I just promise you, you're going to get hurt. I hope you don't get hurt by me, but I've been known to do that. Okay? But when you get hurt, don't let your heart stay wounded. Offer forgiveness. Turn it over to the Lord. Accept things that you can accept, and then turn the rest of it over to God. He understands. He loves you. And what other people might mean for evil, God can take it and mean it for good. Let's pray together, can we? Father in heaven, thank you very much for the privilege to share these moments with our student body. Pray you bless them. Pray you take the truths of God's word and the reality of a few testimonies and help us to remember this on maybe some challenging days in our future. We need every one of these young people to make it. All of us, all the way. I pray that you'll not knock them out because of challenges, hurts. Give them a strong inner man to say no to things we should say no to say yes to things we should say yes to stay when we want to leave, to serve when we want to sit, to forgive when we want to grudge. Help us, Lord. Pray that you would please work in hearts. Speak to us, through us, use us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.